casino grudges, then reaches not his liver lost his nose. Non about feel his beauty sanctia. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins, and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, and see for me. Well, today, on this 33rd Sunday of the year, the Holy Gospel tells us about the end of the world, when Jesus will come in all his glory. And after commanding his holy angels to gather all souls together, those who have already died over the centuries, and those who are still alive, as in Paul puts it, in the air. And the angel are to place them in the valley of Jehoshaphat. Sometimes people say, how can everybody fit in to that one valley? Well, to begin with, all souls have a spiritual, they don't take up any room. And then again, Jehoshaphat just means judgment. So really it's just the valley of judgment. Of course, not everybody will be there to be judged. I mean, we can't imagine our Lady will be there to be judged. She's perfect. She's immaculately conceived. And then again, we wouldn't think St. Joseph will be there, or St. John the Baptist, who is so good and holy. Then again, I think it's St. Thomas tells us, we won't find any of the apostles because they are going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Because we might be thinking of Judas, who was an apostle. But then, furthermore, says St. Thomas, we're not going to find those people while they were on earth, confronted with the truth of Jesus Christ our Lord, rejected Jesus, because now they are already judged. However, all the rest of us will. Now, what I want to say is that this meditation is planned to be a kind of sequel to last Sunday's meditation. Now, it doesn't really matter whether you heard that one or not. But anyway, I hope it won't turn out to be quite as negative and sad when we were meditating on the judgment of everybody when we die. Because what I want to do, above all in this meditation, is to encourage everybody to fulfill the third beatitude. Now you may say to yourself, I'm not quite sure which one is number three, but anyway, I'll tell you, put you out of your misery. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Well, first of all, we've got to try to understand what this means. Well, to begin with, it means tears. Shedding tears. Being sorry. All the Beatitudes, all the eight Beatitudes, are really fruits of the Holy Spirit. And there are far more than the eight Beatitudes. There may be 30 or 40 of them that we can distinguish even. Peace, patience, spirit of forgiveness, mercy, and all sorts of fruits. Now, I think I might have mentioned in the previous meditation that these eight Beatitudes are the most important fruits of the Holy Spirit, because they're included in one of the famous Sermon on the Mount. It is as if our Lord is setting out the main features of his program to get us into heaven. And these fruits, these Beatitudes, are all inspired by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, the gift of the Holy Spirit, which produces this fruit or this beatitude, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, is the gift of knowledge. When we're enlightened by this gift of knowledge, we realise that creatures, created things, and the pleasures of this life are absolutely worth nothing. And so, the gift of knowledge helps us to weep over the time we have wasted seeking these pleasures, and to mourn over the energy and the affection we've spent on the vanities of the world. So what are these tears? They're the burning tears St. Augustine spoke of in his Confessions, where he laments, "Late have I loved thee, O beauty ever ancient, ever new. Late have I loved thee. Thou wert with me, but I was not with thee. Creatures kept me far from thee." So indeed, these are also the tears of the great penitent saint, St. Mary Magdalene. Some spiritual authors put her high up in the kind of the ranks of saints, as if following Our Lady and St. Joseph and John the Baptist. We see her bathing our Lord's feet with her tears, and then wiping his feet with her hair. She was crying as if her heart would break over the sins which he now sees as an offence. Not just to God in a sort of vague, general sort of way. Would have caused Jesus to suffer. And so she's consoling him by bathing his feet with her tears. We can also see this in the tears of St. Peter, another great penitent. We find him in the house of Pilate, having just denied our Lord three times, that our Lord looked at him, a look which pierced his heart. And we read in the Gospel, and he went out and wept bitterly. So what about us now? When we look back on our life, what do we find there? Are we going to fulfill this beatitude and mourn over the sins we have committed? All the time we've just thrown away, wasted, seeking pleasure of self-satisfaction. Well, now, St. Paul says, is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. A day of salvation because we're going to weep for our sins. St. Paul reminds us that we should also be shedding tears and being sorry for our sins, determined to seek God and not our own pleasure and satisfaction. The gift of knowledge does not permit us to close our eyes to our infidelities, however slight they may seem to us to be. But the gift of knowledge will make us realize how bad they are, and lead us to hate them and to weep over them with tears of compunction. You remember that point in the way? You were crying. Don't be ashamed of it. Yes, cry. Men also cry like you when they are alone before God. Each night, says King David, I soak my bed with tears. With those tears, those burning, manly tears, you can purify your past and supernaturalize your present life. We turn to the book of Psalms and Psalm 50, so-called the Miserere Psalm, begins by saying, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy great mercy. Surely this psalm was composed when Nathan the prophet came to King David after he'd sinned with Bathsheba and put her husband in the front line of battle, so that he will be killed to cover up his sin. And King David realizes how wicked he has been. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy great mercy, and according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my iniquity. Wash me yet more from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my iniquity, and my sin is always before me. Blessed Anne Catherine Limerick had one day a revelation about priests in purgatory and how these priests were upbraided by all those souls that they in their lifetime had failed to help, which was their duty and responsibility. Well, that's something I can take to heart myself, because I am a priest. But all of you listening to me are not priests. But there surely will be equivalent occasions in your past life when you have failed to help other people. And now they are in purgatory, suffering great pain through our fault. So we too have to go out like St. Peter and weep bitterly. When I was translating the biography of Blessed Guadalupe, I remember distinctly reading how one of Guadalupe's sisters remarked how she was convinced that Guadalupe had the gift of tears. I don't know whether she had seen her crying while she was praying in the oratory. I also remember how on one of his visits to England in the early 70s, Don Ernesto Julia told us, or at least he told me, how he had had to take our father to the ophthalmologist, not to test his eyes, see whether he could see, but to get his eyes treated, because he'd been crying so much. They're all inflamed. So clearly from this, we see how the confession of the saints was filled with the most lively sorrow over their sins, and even their slightest imperfections. I always think, for example, that reading the lives of saints is such a great help to us in our search for sanctity, because they help us to have great sorrow for sin. And saints like St. Mary Magdalene, such a wonderful example. Because not only did they weep over their sins, and anoint Jesus with perfume. And they followed him right to the foot of the cross. We're reading the Imitation of Christ. Go where you will. Seek what you will. But you will not find a higher way above or a safer way below than the way of the Holy Cross. What do these words of Blessed Thomas à Kempis mean? They mean that we've got to contemplate Jesus on his cross. And where do we find Mary Magdalene? She's standing there with Our Lady and St. John at the foot of the cross. She's the representative of all those souls who have had a great deal to be forgiven. So what should we be doing? Well, there's no better way, which I think I said in last week's meditation, than to follow the way of the cross, contemplating Jesus, remembering, I think as he said, to Saint Bridget of Sweden, that he had 6,666 blows on his body. Poor Jesus, all you have had to suffer. And you didn't need to suffer because you had not committed any sins. You're suffering because I need to get my sins forgiven. So we find that just as Jesus first appeared after the resurrection to Mary and called her by her name, this is when she took him for a gardener and he called her Mary and she cried, Rabboni, Master. We shall be similarly comforted by that gift of knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. This reminds us once again that through the gift of knowledge, the soul understands the blessedness of tears. That is to say, the beatitude of suffering embraced for the love of God. The gift does not make us insensitive to physical and moral pain, for we shall still weep and feel the sting of the tears. but it sanctifies our weeping and makes us more resigned to God's will, preferring those tears. And seeing them as a means of becoming like Christ crucified. Now, before we finish, here's a beautiful prayer composed by another St. Mary Magdalene, but not the famous one, but Dei Patri, who was a nun. She says, O Lord, the peace you give us in this world is full of anxieties, tribulations, and persecution. But then you bring us to a quiet, tranquil peace. Because the Spirit attests in this way that we are your children. This means, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Not only will you comfort us in the future, but you will turn our very tears into consolation and war itself into peace. He who loves you, O Lord, finds in the most burning fire of tribulation the cool breeze and the dew of heavenly consolation. We've still got 2 minutes to go, so I've time to read out the prayer of another saint, Saint Angela of Foligno, a different one from Angela of Merici. So she says, come then, come, O children of God, let us hasten to the cross of Christ, to sorrow, contempt and poverty. Grant, O Lord, that I may love you as you have loved me, with that absolute fidelity, purity and love, which reserves nothing for itself, but which gives itself wholly and therefore runs to pain and suffering, seeing and feeling in all things nothing but love. Let's turn to Our Lady, who had no sins at all, but she wept for her son at the foot of the cross, and indeed for all of us poor sinners. I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions, affections and inspirations you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask you for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.